We're very glad to have you with us this morning, Dave. I'm going to pray for you, and then I think I'll read the reading and then hand over to you. So, yeah, Father God, we thank you for Dave. Mm. We thank you for all that he has done in this town over the years that he has faithfully served here. We thank you for all that he has brought to All Saints and the team that he has built around him and in the bigger parish, diocese or whatever it's called, around him. And we pray for him. We pray you'd strengthen him in this time. We pray you give him resilience to keep leading well. And we pray, Holy Spirit, for your inspiration on him more than ever as he seeks you and as he seeks to glorify you and reflect you in all he does. So we thank you for the word that he has for us this morning and a big river welcome to Dave.
Amen.
So I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It's from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honour when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. You love him passionately, although you did not see him, but through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. But you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. Amen. Dave.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anthea and Paul. Thank you for inviting me. Lovely to be with everyone. I love River Church so much. Many of you will know that River was the first church that Helen, Thomas, Lauren and Josh and I came to when we moved to Marlow 8 years ago. You were meeting in Holy Trinity School back then. And we got such a warm welcome from you all and have done ever since. So I guess it's appropriate that this is my first ever Zoom church meeting. And here I am coming to River as my first experience of that also. So I'm just going to say before I start a couple of things about Zoom that I've noticed. One that I love is the chat function at the bottom. And chatting to Paul and Anthea beforehand yesterday, we just wondered whether we could use that this morning. If you've got any questions or any thoughts, if you want to just pop them in the chat. And if we've got time at the end, we could maybe interact with them or take them into a time of prayer. The other thing I really love about Zoom, I don't know if you've noticed it, but it always puts you right next to the people who are leading. So like all the way through this service so far, I feel like I've been sitting right next to Paul and Anthea, which I know it's shallow, but it makes me feel kind of important. But I love the fact that it does that to every single one of us. So wherever you are sitting next to Paul and Anthea. And I think that's a little taste of heaven. I don't know if you kind of think, well, I'm not very important. So God, you know, I'm going to be like at the back corner somewhere. Well, no, somehow, just like on Zoom, we will all be right next to Jesus in heaven. I love that thought. It's very precious to me. And, so maybe, you know, if you get bored, you can look at the Zoom screen and think, well, at least in heaven, I'm going to be sitting right next to the most wonderful, fascinating person there's ever been. I love the video that we saw of Russell Brand earlier. It's a real reminder to me that we are all in the same boat in many ways in this crisis. We're all searching. We're all seeking connection. And Father, I pray that through these next few minutes, through these words in your holy word, that you would connect us more closely to yourself. And that through us, you would connect many, many others to you. That, as Pete Hopkinson always prays, a surprisingly large number of people would come to find connection with you. Amen. I want to think this morning about the question, what does our faith bring us in a time like this? Because when we, fake faith is no use at all, is it? And we want to build our lives on the rock of what is real and what is powerful. And these verses that Anthea's just read out, I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. So if you want to Google it and follow it, that's the version I'll be using. And it came to me actually in a prayer time with the Churches Together leaders over Zoom last week or the week before. And I just think there is so much just in these seven verses. There is so much to answer that question. Well, so what does faith bring? You know, I don't know if you maybe had conversations like that with neighbors. I had it with someone who came selling something door to door yesterday. I wasn't expecting that during lockdown. But, you know, what does faith bring? And I love these first words in verse 3. In praise to God, our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, living hope. If there's one thing we all need right now, isn't that it? Just the hope, that future orientation of that things are positive, that all's going to end well. We are desperate for that. I think that's the oxygen of the whole world at the moment, hope. And if you think about Peter, who wrote this lesson, you know, he'd been through some pretty hopeless times. We know he was frail, he was headstrong, he blew hot and cold. Like me, he's an external processor, so he said things first and thought about them second. That got him into trouble. He denied Jesus at what perhaps he saw as the pivotal moment of his life, the ultimate test. He failed it in spades. But actually, the pivotal moment of his life was Jesus coming back to him in grace. As we think about sort of over Easter, this sort of period of the year. And then he just goes, well, I'm going fishing. I love that about him. And John's gospel, where Peter just, he's like, oh, I've had enough of all this. I'm going back to what I know. And so this person who's been through so much of life's roller coaster, as he nears the end of his life and he writes this letter to God's people scattered all over, you know, the Eastern Mediterranean region, he starts off by reminding them about the hope that God brings and the fact that the church is indestructible. Have you thought about that in this lockdown time? That because of Jesus' resurrection, the church, which is Jesus' body, is absolutely indestructible because Jesus is indestructible. He's come through death and been resurrected. And in this sort of Easter season, as certainly in the Church of England, we're still kind of celebrating Easter right up to Pentecost next Sunday. It's really good to stop and imagine what it must have been like for Peter and his friends to be locked in a room and Jesus, whom they had seen tortured, flogged, nailed to a cross, had a sword run through his side. He was taken down, his broken body, blood-stained, was folded up and put in a cave. And then he appears and stands in the midst of them. Can you just imagine for a moment why that was so life-changing for them? I think the closest experience I've had of that was I had a good friend who was actually... He was a generation older than me, my parents' generation, but he was a church leader in a church Helen and I went to when we were first married in London. And he'd been a general in the army, and he died very suddenly, tragically, age 60, in a car crash. And we went to his funeral, and he had an identical twin brother who spoke at the funeral. And this brother of his, David, was completely identical in every way, in appearance, his speech, his mannerisms, the way he laughed. And he was standing there next to this coffin talking to us. And it was as if Ian had come back from the dead. It was the most unnerving experience. And we just talked about it for weeks, months afterwards. I was reminded of it again last week. And, you know, just the shock of someone coming back who you've seen die, you know, it was so transforming. And it made the disciples, they just knew, well, we've got nothing to be afraid of. This life that Jesus brings really is indestructible. No wonder they had no fear. No wonder they just marched round. And even if all of the people in authority said, you've got to shut up, they go, well, we can't. We're witnesses. We've seen this with our own eyes. And I long for us as a church to recover some of that confidence, that just that God's kingdom's not in trouble. God's not struggling. We're indestructible. And our inheritance, our future, as Peter goes on to describe, is indestructible. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now, as we think about that, what difference does it make to us that we can't lose any of what really matters? It's indestructible. And that's the source of the hope. It all comes from the resurrection. And he goes on, it's kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power. That's the NIV translation. I like that translation because we heard a lot about shielding, haven't we, in the last few weeks. You know, you can't get away from it. I know there are people in our staff team at All Saints Marlow who had symptoms who were shielding for a while. My parents, my father's got motor neuron disease. He also has cancer. And he and my mother are shielding themselves, you know, as very strictly against possible transmission of the virus. We see the NHS workers and the way they are so courageously going in to care for others and going to work, and they are just shielding themselves as much as they can. And we've heard, so I know, didn't even know what PPE was. I thought it was a university course, and now it's, you know, we hear about PPE the whole time, don't we? Well, I've got to tell you that according to Peter, God has infinite supplies of PPE. And they are perfectly effective in shielding you and me, because he says we through faith were shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. So I think for Peter, I think the Christian reasoning is, well, we've already died, right? In baptism, we've died to ourselves. We've died to our own way. We can't die again. We're living in resurrection life now. And that shields us. You know, we are shielded by God's power. So what does faith offer us? Well, we don't need to be afraid. The worst the world can throw at us is death, or death to our loved ones. And God shields us from that. He shielded us through the resurrection of Jesus. But in all of this, one of the things I love about Peter is that he's grounded in real life. So he goes on, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, Peter knew trials. He was, if you read through the book of Acts, you know, the guy was arrested twice and thrown into prison for preaching about Jesus. And the angel that releases him tells him, right, go back and preach again. He must be thinking, great, thanks. He was threatened. He was mocked by including by other Christians. He really knew what it was to suffer. I'm just going to read to you from Acts. This is from chapter 5. During the night, he'd been thrown in prison. He said, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Well, that's exactly what got him arrested in the first place. So sure enough, he gets dragged back in front of the grown-ups. And then he leaves. He's been flogged. This is verse 40 in Acts 5. They called the apostles in. They had them flogged. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. That's the name of Jesus. They rejoiced that they could suffer for the name of Jesus. And day after day, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Messiah. So Peter saw so much suffering in his life. You know, being flogged by the Romans, that was a serious thing. You know, some people died of that, and he got straight back up. And how did he do that? How did he look at his suffering? Well, one thing that fascinates me is he tells us right here. He says, these trials have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor. In other words, Peter sees all this stuff as a test, as a refining of faith. And I find that such a help to realize that Peter looked at suffering. He looked at grief. He looked at bereavement as something that could refine faith. In other words, he saw it as something that God was watching to see how he was going to respond. And I believe that's what God is doing with us. He's watching us to see how we can respond to what's going on. Because the tests of God are always hidden from us while we're going through them. But once we complete them, they're revealed. Have you found that in your own life? Sometimes you'll be going through something. You'll be like, God, I don't understand. Why don't you change this? What's going on? And then when it comes to an end, suddenly God reveals it to you and you can see what he was doing through that. I believe we're in a time like that now where we can't fully see what God is doing. He's hidden it from us. And he's not, if he wanted to, he could reveal it just like that before I finish this sentence and we could all understand everything that he's doing. But he's not going to do that, because what he wants, he's watching us. He's watching me like I watch, you know, my son when he's struggling with his maths homework. And I'm like, can you do this? You can. Come on. I'm watching. I'm wanting you to learn and to grow. I believe that's how God is watching over us. Not that he sends evil. We know that he doesn't do that. But when he sees us struggling, he's watching us. And it is, in the very best sense, a test. And so often, don't we don't really know how much we're capable of until we're pushed beyond our comfort zone. And so I think Peter would encourage us. He'd say, come on, church. God's testing you. How are you going to respond? You know, you're going to binge box sets, or are you going to pray? Are you going to just think about yourself and your own four walls? Or are you going to be asking, who can I love? Where can I reach out? Who can I serve and bless? And Peter did this in his life right to the very end when he was martyred for his faith. And the final part of this passage, I think he's asking that question, well, how do we endure? And one of the things I've done a lot more of in lockdown is riding my mountain bike. And so I go out for a ride most days. And of course, as I do that, I discover I can actually ride further and it doesn't hurt quite as much. But it still hurts quite a lot when I'm going up a steep hill. And how do I get up the hill? Well, I think about the top. And I long for that moment where I'm just not going to have to push on the pedals anymore. But, oh, I've reached my destination. Oh, it feels so good. And sometimes the only thing that stops me from getting off and walking is just thinking, soon I won't have to go uphill anymore. Peter says here, he's saying exactly the same thing. He's going, I know this is hard. You want to get off. You want to throw your bike on the ground and have a tantrum and say, I've had enough of this. I can't go uphill anymore. But he says, think about what's at the end. Jesus. I love these words. I love the way that we sang something very similar to this as Tina led us earlier. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that true? Though you haven't seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Reminds me of the bit in Hebrews chapter 12 where the writer says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And he's talking about how we endure suffering. And it's really striking to me that Peter says, for you are receiving, right now, you're receiving the goal of your faith. That is everything that comes from seeing Jesus. And we know there's a lot of not yets, aren't there, in the kingdom of God. We don't yet see complete wholeness in ourselves and other people. We don't yet see the universal knowledge of God. But one day we know, scripture promises, that earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, like the waters cover the sea. But we don't see that now. We don't see an end to death or mourning or crying or pain, even though it's promised in Revelation it'll be like that. But there's an awful lot we do receive right now. We don't have to wait for heaven for it. We do receive mercy, the fullness of God's mercy. We do receive new birth that Peter talked about earlier. We do receive hope. We get all the hope right now. We don't have to wait for heaven for it. We get it now, today. We get the shielding power of God that releases us from fear. We see glimpses of some things that we won't see fully till heaven, but there's a whole load we get right now. We are receiving the salvation of our souls, which is the end result. That's the top of the hill, and we get it right now. So as I finish, I just want to encourage us. What does faith bring? Well, even in these seven verses, a whole lot. A hope that's totally indestructible, a promise of God's shielding so we don't need to be afraid, an understanding that we're going through difficult times, but it's all worth it because it's refining us, and a goal that makes even the steepest climb endurable, because one day we will see Jesus, and even now we're receiving so much, the goal of our faith. I asked the prayer team at All Saints to pray for us this morning and whether they had any prophetic words. And I just want to read you one that they sent to me. This was the word. The door is open. The door is open. I think, I don't know what those words mean to you, but to me they speak of the invitation to come in really deep into our faith, come near to Jesus as we were doing earlier in worship. The door is wide open. We don't have to shout from a distance. We can whisper and he hears and we can draw near. So if we're weary, if we're tired, we can come near to Jesus. But it also speaks to me of the doors being open to our churches. You know, who irrespective of what denomination or which part of the church, the door is wide open. And the world is desperate, as Russell Brand was saying, for connection, for prayer. And I think the door is open for us as never before in my lifetime. The doors of the church are flung wide open. And we have this opportunity to share with others the hope, the living hope that God has given us. So I want to pray for us that we would really use this time, invest this time, see it as a test that is strengthening and purifying our faith and making us more sensitive to Jesus' presence and more willing to run through the door to him and to stand at the door and invite others in, very boldly invite them and welcome them in. So, Father, I pray for River Church. I pray for your church throughout the world that as we respond to our current circumstances, painful and grief-stricken though they are, that you would reveal to us the living hope of Jesus, that you would reassure us of your shielding power, that you would help us to keep going and endure through these trials that are strengthening our faith, and that you would fling open the doors of your kingdom. And we and many others would march in, rejoicing, singing, worshipping, and bring glory to your Son, Jesus, whom we have not seen, but whom we love. Amen.